All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Here we are on a finally Friday. Kevin Keith with you at the helm in the official air chair. Whatever you want to say, throw in your own words here, all right? Your own cliche, as we say in the radio biz. Let's start off by thanking our community-minded partners, the ones that make all this great programming possible. They are Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, plus Pro By Computers, all with the KNS Radio Network. I am Kevin Keith, and I do appreciate you being here, dialing us in, finding us online all the time at knsradionetwork.com. Also, a lot of you listen on the Live 365 app, and we really appreciate you going the extra mile and downloading that and being able to pull us up anytime. It's really, really makes it simple. The cool thing is, once you find us, the next time you open up the app, it will ask you if you want to continue listening to us, so you don't even have to find us again. You just put us down as one of your favorites or your only favorite, and it will bring us up every single time, and all you got to do is click yes. And if you haven't downloaded that app and you're intimidated by apps, reach out to me. If you have your app password, I will walk you through it. Hit me up on Facebook. You can also email me anytime. It's Kevin at knsradionetwork.com. Very simple email for you there. And I have been starting to get some emails from some of you listeners on either suggestions or just, frankly, a lot of it's been compliments. And I couldn't appreciate that anymore. And I try to respond to every single email that I get. Yesterday, I was in the field working for Moses Surveying, and I had a chance to listen to KNS. In the afternoon, I was doing a job where I was basically walking around pushing buttons, and it was a very quiet job that I don't have to think much about. It's, you know, kind of one of those easy jobs that you don't have to use much brainwaves on. And so I thought that I would pull out the knsradionetwork.com app and pulled us up on Live 365, and I got a chance to listen to the station for about 45 minutes yesterday afternoon, where I normally don't get a chance to. I generally hear the morning show. I'll hear it, you know, here and there throughout the day. I'll pull it up and make sure everything's okay, as it all runs from a laptop in my apartment. And I'm out in the field working for Moses Surveying all over North Central Indiana. And I'm one of those guys that just likes to check on it every couple hours just to make sure everything's okay. And I'm really happy with the program I bought, because every time, just about, I think I've checked on it in the last 8 months, it's always right there doing what it's supposed to do. And so I had a chance to listen to it, like, as a listener yesterday, and I was quite proud of it, of what I've been able to put together, the mix of the music, our commercials, and all the sweepers and jingles and stuff you hear between the songs. So I'm just going to break my shoulder here, patting myself on the back. But we're always continuously working to get better for you. I've got some exciting things that's going to enable us to kick things into second gear, as we call it around here at KNS. And that's going to include an oldie show. It's going to include a local music show also, or a regional music show. And I'm hoping to have a big name locally hosting that regional music show. He's a musician. And that's all I'm going to say right now. I don't want to jinx it. I want to talk about a couple things today if we have the time. First off, I want to talk about I guess it was Wednesday afternoon, I found out that there was yet another development in the Melissa Trump saga, I guess we'll call it, in Clinton County. The deputy with the Clinton County Sheriff's Department that was put on administrative leave for several months and recently had a merit board hearing, and the merit board found that she did break some rules, but they enabled her to keep her job, and the punishment was 30 days without pay, 30-day suspension without pay. which, as you heard in the interview I had with Melissa a couple days after the Merit Board's decision, that's really 60 days. It's really like losing 2 months of pay because of the way they do their shifts and stuff. I forget exactly how that is, but it made sense at the time. So that's how that works. So it's quite a wing dinger. Well, I heard Wednesday that she was going to be on the agenda, or she had tried to get on the agenda, but it was too late. She was going to speak publicly in the public speaking portion of the Clinton County Commissioners meeting, which was held yesterday morning. And they normally meet on Mondays, I believe, but I think they didn't this week because of the election. And so they had it on Thursday morning, yesterday morning. And of course, it was at 9 o'clock. I was unable to go to that because I was at my real job that pays the bills for the household. And by the magic of YouTube and the internet, thank you, Al Gore, I was able to, I can go on there, I can copy that link from YouTube. I'm going to tell you how the sausage is made here. I can copy that link from YouTube and put it in a YouTube to MP3 converter that I have. And so I took the hour and a half meeting and put it into this converter, and it puts it in as a, it turns it into an MP3 form, which is a form of audio that I know how to work with. And I have this program here that enables me to edit audio. And so I just poked it into that, pulled it into that, and was able to cut out the first 20 minutes and cut out the last 50 minutes and just get the 30 minutes of them listening to Melissa Trump request give her request for her dog Tico, who of course was taken away from her by the sheriff while she had this paid administrative leave. And the dog Tico is in service with Preston Hillman, who's a deputy with the Clinton County Sheriff's Department and has been for a month or so. She had to give him back, I believe, in May, she told us. Now, something that came out, I found out about it late Wednesday night. She shared it with me, and then she said it yesterday, and you'll hear it in a minute. Something that came out recently that I thought that really, really surprised me was that the day or two after the Merit Board handed down their decision recently, her attorney called her the next day and said, "Hey, don't get too excited. Don't tell anyone. Just play it cool, but you're getting your dog back." And I said, "Wow, really?" And so she's telling me this Wednesday evening. And I said, well, what happened? You know, I've not seen that on social media. I've not heard anything about that. As a matter of fact, I figured it was a done deal that he's already with Deputy Hillman, and you won't ever get him back. And she said, "Well, come to find out," and I didn't know this. It makes sense though. Any property or asset that's owned by the county is up to the discretion of the determination of what to do with it of the Clinton County Commissioners, not necessarily the department from which it's issued. Now, this could be anything from a desk, a chair, a computer, a cop car, or a canine dog. So when I found that out, it kind of made sense that her attorney, I guess, had got with the commissioners and made that request, and she's willing to pay. She has been willing to pay. She's still willing to pay. And she wanted to go in front of the commissioners yesterday and make it official that she wants to ask for the dog back, although she had shortly after that. And from what I gathered, the reason they didn't do it immediately is because they had to go through a proper channel or so. The commissioners did, but they were she wasn't allowed to say anything for fear of retribution by the sheriff, or that he would try to do some kind of injunction or something to keep her from having this dog. And the commissioners either got cold feet or weren't sure that they wanted to tie this up in court with court costs and all kinds of additional money, which this has already cost the county, you'll hear in a minute, over $100,000, according to everyone. And there's a little more developing on that part of the story, too, which may be coming out in a couple of weeks, as to the commissioners didn't know that Melissa Trump had been under paid administrative leave for the last 8 months. Now, some would argue they should know. They should have their thumb a little more on the pulse of what's going on in their departments they oversee financially. But if they weren't told and they have other things to look at, you know, I could see how that could not be seen. And Sheriff Kelly wasn't volunteering that. He obviously felt like he didn't have to. You know, it's his department. He's going to handle that the way he sees fit within the law. And so I don't think any laws were broken, but the commissioners kind of feel jaded. And of course, we all know there's no love lost between the commissioners and the sheriff. For whatever reasons, you may or may not agree or even know all the details on. But that's just that's a fact. If you live in Clinton County, you know these things. So I wrote a story. It's going to be it's up at Clinton County or at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Boy, talk about a Freudian slip. Holy shit, Kevin. What are you talking about? Clinton County Daily News. Oh, man, it's been 2.5 years almost. I wrote the story and have it up at KNSRadioNetwork.com. That's right, KNSRadioNetwork.com. And go to the news page. And it's the top story there. Also have a link on the front page there, the home page, with my funny-looking caricature. So I've got the story there, and I have incorporated the sound bites into the story, and that way you can read the story I wrote and then listen to the sound bites that I'm about to play for you. So if you go to the page, this is something that I've never seen anyone do before. I didn't even do it at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. I thought about it here at KNSRadioNetwork.com, and I thought this would look cool, and it would be neat for the listeners and viewers and the readers to be able to read the story and then click on the audio, and they can listen to this all again on their own terms and time, and you don't have to necessarily pull up my whole show. So it'll be there as a separate news piece, all right? So Melissa Trump went in front of the Clinton County Commissioners Thursday and requested the canine dog Tico, who was taken from her earlier this year while she was being investigated, and a Sheriff's Department Merit Board ruling was issued on her conduct. Trump started off the conversation by explaining that she would purchase Tico, that she also has arranged for another canine, a company, to give the county a quote-unquote ready-to-go canine free of charge if the county would give her Tico back. And she also said she felt and feels that all along this has been a vendetta against her. So here is Trump with her opening thoughts yesterday at the Clinton County Commissioners meeting.
Morning, my name is Melissa Trump. I'm here to request the retirement of K9 Tico effective today, November 7th, 2024, and would like to have the opportunity to purchase Tico for a reasonable price. I think K9 bonding is extremely important, and that's why me and Tico made such a great team due to our close bond that started when he was young. It is only fair that a new handler have the same opportunity to do that. It is difficult for a working K9 to form a bond the older they become. As a team, we have been successful in several narcotics deployments and non-physical apprehensions. In 2022, I was awarded Canine Handler of the Year. Tico is approximately 4.5 years old, possibly older. The age is typically not accurately disclosed when purchasing. Tico was originally purchased from overseas in Belarus, and then he was purchased by FM Canine, where he was then purchased by Clinton County. He has been in my care since October 1st, 2021, until I was told to turn him over on May 31st, 2024. I was told it was due to a pending criminal investigation, the same investigation that Special Prosecutor of White County denied to file charges on. I, through my lawyer, Adam Brower, asked the Sheriff's Office if I could purchase Tico. I was told no because they had too much invested in him. I have purchased things for Tico when the department would not provide proper housing for Tico. I was given a laundry tote with a hole cut in the side for a doghouse. I was given a kennel with a tarp that was zip tied on top for coverage from rain and sun. It was not even close to being an adequate housing setup. I was given a crate that was too small for him to fit in that was made from welded vent panels. I purchased my own doghouse, proper roof cover for the kennel, and crate without complaining. I also applied for a donation of a ballistic vest that is custom fit for Tico that costs around $7,000 to make sure he was protected at work. I've been denied canine training opportunities. I would train on my own time, on my own days off, and not claim overtime for it. I've spent countless hours with Tico making sure we could be the best team, even when odds were stacked against us. What I'm trying to say is, outside of the purchase of Tico, I am the only one that can truly say I have anything invested in Tico. If it is truly about the money to the sheriff's office, then I would like to know why Canine Rip was given away for free to a corrections officer named Drake Brown, and Rip was approximately 2 years old. Please understand that I believe this is a personal vengeance against me. I truly believe that it is retaliation on behalf of the sheriff's office. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to bring Tico home. I also had a company reach out to me recently. They are called Police Canine Protectors, and they have offered to donate a dog for free to the sheriff's office in exchange for Tico.
So as I mentioned earlier, something that wasn't known until yesterday was that her attorney had called her a couple of days after the merit board decision and said county assets such as a vehicle or a canine is determined who owns them by the commissioners, not the head of the department it's issued to, which is the sheriff's department in this case. She said her attorneys told her not to say anything about it for fear of retribution from the sheriff, or he would try to tie it up somehow, possibly. She said she was secretly celebrating inside the past few weeks, but recently realized the commissioners may have got cold feet, as she explains here.
I wasn't aware until recently that Tico was actually owned by the county. I was under the impression that it was through the sheriff's office. And then it was through my lawyer that I learned he had called me after the merit trial and told me some things that, hey, sounds like you're getting your dog back. You just need to be quiet about it, and that there was maybe some work going on with that. And so it wasn't until just recently that I had learned those things. Also, I did start a petition for Tico.
Right.
And I know that you guys aren't probably on the petition, but I did petition it to the commissioners once I learned that really Tico's fate was in your hand.
Next up was Clinton County Sheriff Rich Kelly, and he addressed all the concerns and said the animal is a county asset and was purchased with grant money given to this community and therefore should work in this community. He said it's not the dog's fault, it's Trump's fault that the dog is in this position.
The reason why we're obviously where we're at is for disciplinary issues, not for a reward, not for anything other than disciplinary issues. When the sheriff's office receives complaints in regards to officers, to behavior, to discipline, or anything, the rules and regulations that are to be upheld by the sheriff's office and by the folks that sign the policies and the merit rules and the understanding of it, this is why we're here today. And yes, it has taken quite a bit of time, but when an internal investigation turns into a criminal investigation, that's when it has to go to a prosecutor, and the prosecutor makes a decision, and that canine is to work in this community, not to be a prop on TV or on the internet for somebody to use at any given time when they need to see or try and attempt to either make monetary gain, make free gifts, popularity, votes, likes on the internet. That's not what that canine's for. That's what that canine was being used for. So there's other comments that want to be made, and this canine has been transitioned. We have transitioned other canines to other handlers with success. We talk about Rip. We talk about Rip and the information that was provided by our vets that we use, and also by experienced handlers, not with 5 years, not with 2 years, not with 3 years, experienced handlers, was that he was medically, there were quite a few issues. And that was on the last canine that was retired due to medical. This dog is not at that point. This canine, by default, has had to sit due to a deputy's behavior. Not by my behavior, not by anybody else's behavior, but by the behavior of a deputy. So that transition was made, and to bring somebody into the mix that wants to volunteer to have a canine, it is an extreme ask for somebody to want a canine, because it's a lot of work personally, privately, at home, and everywhere else, because that dog doesn't go anywhere else but with that handler. So there's a time where we had to make a decision whether the canine was going to sit or it was going to be a continued asset for the community. So that is a continued asset for the community this time because it's been reassigned to Deputy Hillman that has been certified. The dog has been recertified on all facets of canine usage, and he is going to work, and he's already put his shifts, started his shifts with his canine.
Kelly goes on to share how long a dog can be effective and additional costs associated with this.
Typically, it's 7 to 9 years is where you would look at a canine because we have other dogs that were brought in and transitioned at the same time as Tico approximately, and one of them was reassigned from a handler on the road to a handler in the jail because of issues, and that's Canine Lambo. And Canine Barry was brought in. I think he's from Belarus too. But he was issued to the handler on the road. So we're still looking at several years of service that we would have to put in there. And as far as the bill that comes with these canines, it's the hours of training that you have to provide. And at the time that we brought Tico and we brought in some of the other dogs, we had an actual trainer at our facility. Now we do not. So we are going to have to, and that cost has increased over the last 4 years of taking that canine to another facility and trying to obtain training. So, you know, you do have a lot more costs than just the initial cost. It's a lot of man hours and locations. So you got drive time, taking them to wherever they're at, housing for the dog and also for the handler.
Next to speak was Detective John Greiner, who spoke to the commissioners and was real careful on what he shared. I got the impression that he felt he didn't have to give them a whole lot of information. He was just there representing himself as the detective who did the criminal investigation portion of this. So he was very careful on what he shared. He shared a document with the commissioners toward the end of what he had to say, which I'm going to play for you now.
So I was approached approximately around May 22nd to start looking into any criminal violations that had occurred. I'm not here to explain the whole nature of my criminal investigation. I don't think that'd be appropriate. But one of the things I do want to let you guys know was the nature of the use of county property. And I think for the purpose of the time here, that's really what you guys want to know, was county property being used appropriately. That's what you guys want to know. And if we were to give it to a person, would it be continued to be used in a way that's honoring to the county in the way that we'd want it to be seen? And I think if you were to look through the, and I've already asked Sheriff Kelly if I can give you what I call a partial copy of the report. There's parts that I just simply can't give to you, just appreciate that. But I think the stuff that I have here is the criminal investigation that is appropriate. Part of that comes with social media public, stuff that you could go find yourself, what Instagram was being used for, what the dog was really being used for, what advertising the dog was actually doing. To the best of my knowledge, as a county employee, I'm not allowed to, on county time, advertise for private companies, correct? And those were some of the criminal investigations that we did do. The White County prosecutor, Mark Delgado, did choose to not file charges, and that was not because he said there was not a crime that occurred. A lot of times, and I'm not the prosecutor here, but there are a lot of times where prosecutors choose to not file charges, even when there is a crime that has occurred. Obviously, we had met the threshold of probable cause, but maybe not proof beyond all reasonable doubt, which is what is required in the state of Indiana. So I would just like to humbly submit to you guys a copy. It's a redacted copy because I don't believe everything needs to be incorporated for your guys' information, so that later today, this evening, this week, you guys have an opportunity to look through what it is, the work that I had done. I don't come for this with, no pun intended, a dog in this fight. I really don't. I'm not a canine guy, I'm a computers guy, but I'm also an investigations guy. And I think if you guys need to make the best decision possible, I do believe I have information that the sheriff has allowed for me to give to you.
Nick Hillman then spoke next on his request to keep Tico where he currently is and to not return the animal to Trump. Hillman is the father of Preston Hillman, a deputy who currently handles Tico. He also says toward the end of the statement here that he empathizes with Trump, as they have worked together in the past, and he understands the bond that a handler can have with the dog. This runs just over 5 minutes. This is Nick Hillman.
I do believe I bring a very unique point of view to this board for a few reasons. First, Deputy Trump and I have been canine officers at our respective departments for the same amount of time. In fact, we obtained our canine partners at the same time together from FM Canine, as she stated in October of 2021. Secondly, both were trained by the same NAPWADA instructor, Joey Mitchell, for our basic canine handler school. We assisted one another during the school, including myself decoying at times for Canine Tico. For the past 3 years, we've continued to train alongside one another every month for our monthly trainings at Clinton County Sheriff's Office. And at times, just the two of us have trained together in order to work on bettering our skills with our canines. One unique difference, though, for myself, is that I've had a great amount of opportunity for training outside of our local training groups. I also train with the FPD Police Department canine training groups monthly. I train with Valparaiso Police Department, Montgomery County Sheriff's Department training groups at times. I also get to travel to specialized canine trainings throughout the nation. Recently, I attended a 40-hour canine conference in Denver, Colorado. This focused on all aspects of patrol, utility, and narcotic detection, along with the canine supervisor course that focuses on policies, procedures, and the management of canine programs and their assets. Just last month, I attended a 40-hour detection school in New Jersey with one of the foremost experts in detection canine industry discussing training strategies, industry best standards, along with legal analysis of case law from around the country impacting detection canine teams. As the board is well aware, there's obviously been a wealth of public discourse within the press, social media platforms, fundraising campaigns, online petitions regarding Deputy Trump and her public campaign to, quote, bring home Canine Tico. Unfortunately, the social media public petitions and fundraising campaign has been at best one-sided and very censored of contradicting thoughts or questions by those who started and maintained these pages. I understand their commitment to their single interest of attaining county's asset, Canine Tico. However, I am here to help this board become more informed with actual facts as opposed to emotional pleas of attaining Canine Tico, that this board is able to make a very informed governing decision to this community of Clinton County. I'd like to address some of the information relayed on the public through those various public forums that I previously mentioned, some of which you may have obviously read for yourselves. For the past 2 months, Deputy Hillman has maintained Canine Tico in accordance to the department policies with the same equipment standards as Deputy Trump had maintained. Only difference now is Canine Tico actually lives in Clinton County on a parcel with 2+ acres where he's able to enjoy the vast land for spending time as just being a dog after he's off duty. To the concern that Canine Tico bit his current handler, Deputy Hillman, which has been displayed online. Deputy Trump does not inform the public of the numerous times that she too was bit by Canine Tico, even after working together for several years as a team. In fact, professional canine teams, whether it's in a private setting of a board and trained company, whether it's police canine handling, or even our local kids here in the 4-H fair that do canine obedience, there's always some level of risk of this occurring.
Does it happen often?
It does happen often in professional canine. It happens even with the kids. I volunteer my time at 4-H and teaching these kids obedience through my experience, obviously, and it helps translate over to them. And it happens even with those guys.
Dog club could get rowdy.
Yeah. So it's completely expected, normal. Obviously, you also hear this also from a certified trainer that says the same information that I'll share with you after this. Concerns of bonding or implementing a different handler. I accompanied Deputy Hillman and Canine Tico to their NAPWADA certification this past week. None of the three NAPWADA trainers assisting or the certifying NAPWADA master trainer found any concerns for this working canine team. I've also had the opportunity to train and learn from instructors, handlers who have operated within the special forces groups such as the Navy SEALs and the Green Beret. During my supervisor course, we were instructed by the former director of Customs and Border Patrol that he managed over 900 canine teams at a time. I've trained along supervisors of large canine divisions and larger police departments around the nation. Across the board, it is somewhat common in military national agencies to reassign their canines for various reasons to other handlers, and often these canines are so resilient, they easily adapt to the new handler and continue working without any problems. This is why we select the quality canines that we select for this very reason. When we go to the kennels, we test these canines to be able to do these duties regardless of handler. Additional concern, I am worried about this board possibly contemplating of allowing a current employee of the county to purchase an asset of the county that is still in service to this community for purposes of allowing that employee use of the asset for personal gain and satisfaction as opposed to the asset's value to its department and its service to this community. especially when this asset is on the front lines of the fight against the ever-growing dangers of narcotics within the country, this country, and especially in our own community, as well as providing assistance to the fellow law enforcement officers he serves alongside. In closing, I want to say, I empathize with you, Deputy Trump. There's truly a bond between handler and canine. I've enjoyed sharing our successes, enduring hardships together during these past few years. I've shared tears with you when my first partner was medically retired so early in his career. However, we also know that going into this profession as canine handlers, our partners could at any time be taken away from us for whatever reasons, and this has happened before in this county. But at the end of the day, we also understand the canine's sole purpose and desire is to work. And what has been trained to do as a handler's, and what it has been trained to do, and as a handler's heart and mind should want more than anything for that canine to live out its purpose in life working. You know more than anyone that Canine Tico does have many more years of working service in him. I promise to you, I will always continue to seek out the best training, close and afar, and will bring back to that information to make all the teams in this county better in their skills. Please know it is my only goal that Canine Tico gets to continue work out his days during what he knows best, doing what he knows best, being in service to this community as a working police canine. To this board, I thank you for your time and consideration of additional facts and experiences from another canine handler in this community. I truly hope this clears up any possible concerns as well as brings to light other factors that should be considered when having to make tough decisions. Let's keep Canine Tico working for the safety of this community. Thank you.
So Trump then came back and took the opportunity to be a little more pointed on how she felt that she's been treated.
Just after hearing everyone else speak, just had a few things I wanted to follow up on. I think this has been a witch hunt from the beginning, retaliation against me. This whole incident started with an issue with my son. I still don't have the answer from the Sheriff's Department as how it turned into a criminal investigation. It was a witch hunt. It was an absolute witch hunt. And my social media, if you go through it, it's public. It does nothing but, I was proud to be a female canine officer. See, I wasn't using Tico as a prop or to gain monetary, like they are trying to claim. And I encourage you to contact the prosecutor from White County and versus what they want you to see and what they want you to think. And like I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have Tico home with me. Give me a price.
So then moving forward on how much money this has cost and how the commissioners kind of felt they were kept out in the cold in this, Commissioner Burt Weaver had some harsh words for the alleged mismanagement on the part of Sheriff Rich Kelly.
In reference to the sheriff, this has cost the county a lot of money. Decisions that have made because of the dog shouldn't be. And I think we've made some major mistakes as time's gone on. To the county, we've spent over $100,000 in order to do this punishment that we're doing and affecting a dog is what it amounts to. And that's wrong. If in fact we wanted to punish somebody, which we have in this case, it shouldn't be the dog that's taken the brunt of this, in my opinion. While she's on suspension now, we're continually paying her insurance. We're continually pay other expenses. So we're talking about the money that we've spent for this dog, but we've spent over $100,000 of county money that we had no decisions or thoughts for. That's wrong to use a dog as a prop to get to the punishment. Whatever the punishment was is one thing, but to keep the dog and splitting it back and forth, and it is a pawn right now. So I am disappointed that we've gone down this tube so far and that we're using a dog to get there. It is my opinion the dog was content to begin with. It's my understanding that she is going to, after her time is served, continue to be an officer. My question is, why would she not take her dog back in the field with her and continue to be an officer using canine, which is what her job was to begin with? So if she's to return to her job, let her return to her job with the dog that she was initially with. Don't take the dog and give it to somebody else at this point and establish another relationship and go through more training. She's already there. So my point is that if it was so important to have the dog to begin with, why did we take a year to get there? to get there and expend us money. So we're paying for taxes with it, we're paying with FICA, we're paying all these other things, all the way up to the end of February, and have no control and no officer. We're paying overtime for an officer and a dog because we pulled it away. That is not, in my opinion, good management.
So Burt made two motions in Trump's favor. He wanted to establish a policy for the future if they were to run into a situation like this again. They decided to come up with a policy and discuss it at the next meeting, so they had something that had some teeth in it. And he also made a motion to give the dog back to Trump. And Commissioner Jordan Brewer said he wants another month to investigate, but he's comfortable with making a determination of Tico's fate at the next meeting. So here is Commissioner President Jordan Brewer.
So to me, this is a lot of information to take in to make a consideration at the moment. I would be more comfortable, especially since we've received a plethora of info here. And there's a lot of on both sides, and no offense, I don't trust anybody. So what you're telling me, I need to verify some of that, check into it. So I'm just not comfortable taking a position today to follow up your motion. You have very valid points. The point that the mismanagement, that this all could have been avoided had it been granted from, you know, April or whenever it was, and saved the county hundreds of thousands of dollars, had a person then rehired in her position working now rather than having someone sit at home. So that whole department now is undermanned. Why we continue to pay out, six figures worth of benefits and time is not the financially best decision made during that time. But there's a lot here. Ultimately, many of you said things that some are relevant, some aren't, to be completely honest. Because to me, we're evaluating simply, should we sell this asset to an individual? No different than if someone came and approached us about a vehicle, about a trailer, whatever it is. That's how I look at it. Some others may look at it a little more personally because it's a dog. To me, I'm going to look at it specifically as an asset to Clinton County. So I would like a little more time to consider that. Would be more than willing to make that decision at the next meeting.
So did the second motion die?
It doesn't.
For lack of second?
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion we take this under consideration.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Good.
All right. So are you yes, or are you on the consideration?
I'll
take
the
request under consideration.
Okay, so 3-0. So we do have a motion. We'll take your request under consideration, Melissa, and we'll make a determination at our next meeting, which is going to be on November 19th.
So Trump late yesterday just received her documentation from the Sheriff's Department nearly 3 weeks after the Merit Board's decision that she could keep her job with a 30-day suspension. It had been a couple weeks since the Merit Board's decision, and she just now got some documentation. So that basically wraps up the meeting portion of that yesterday, dealing with Melissa Trump at the Clinton County Commissioners meeting at the meeting room at the courthouse. So the Merit Board conducted the hearing, and Melissa shared this with me last night. I have a copy of this from Sheriff Kelly, and the Merit Board substantiated the allegations, of course, brought forth, and imposed the disciplinary action of suspension without pay for 30 working days. The suspension will commence on November 25th and conclude on January 21st. And it goes on to say that she has to contact the auditor's office for direction if she wants to continue some benefits during this time, the suspension period, and to also give back anything that you have, such as a vehicle or any other sheriff's department stuff. Make sure it's returned no later than November 25th. So that's when she will start her suspension, which again, with the way they have their schedules, is like a 2-month deal, almost 60 days. So there you have it from the Clinton County Commissioners yesterday. Again, it kind of just snuck up on all of us because of the commissioners having the different meeting at the different time. And then I just caught wind of it Wednesday night that she was going to be there. She wasn't even on the agenda. And, of course, the agendas are posted online prior. And so that wouldn't have done any good either. So I was fortunate to find out about that, and fortunate that I've been able to maintain a relationship with all these newsmakers to where Melissa feels comfortable talking to me so I can bring you guys the real facts and just the facts, right? As not all news outlets will do that or even bother covering some of this stuff. So again, you can find that story along with the audio at knsradionetwork.com, and you can find all kinds of other goodies there to peruse the site if you get a chance. All right. All right. So one other thing I wanted to talk about here briefly was I spoke about it briefly yesterday before Bill and I came to you and had our show, which I love having Bill on. He's so much fun. Prior to that, though, I talked about how the defense had rested its case in the Delphi murder trial. So each side, the prosecution and the defense, was given 2.5 hours for their closing statements, and that was done yesterday. And I believe I read where the prosecution went just over an hour, and I'm not certain how long the defense whip. But the defense did deliver its closing argument. They went last. Of course, Allen faces 4 counts of murder in the February 2017 deaths of Abby Williams and Libby German near the Monon High Bridge. State police announced his arrest in October 2022. He has spent 2 years in custody awaiting trial. Now, the attorney for him, Bradley Rossi, delivered closing remarks for the defense. He noted there have been 17 days of testimony over the course of 4 weeks, and all their job is to create reasonable doubt in these jurors' minds to where it's not beyond a reasonable doubt that Allen did this. His argument for exonerating Allen revolved around 4 points. The state's broken murder timeline, the bungled ballistics, false confessions, and digital forensics. Time and time and time again, he said, we had to do their job, meaning the defense had to do the prosecution's job. He pointed out that investigators refused to do a height analysis on the quote-unquote bridge guy video and lost hours and hours of interview videos, like interviews they did, you know, after this, the girls were murdered. When it came to Allen's Ford Focus SE, he noted the state didn't know how many models of that car were in Carroll County in 2017 until they did a BMV search in the middle of the trial. I've told you guys all along, full disclosure, I think Allen is innocent on this, and I hope he's found not guilty. But even if I didn't feel that way, just what I've read and listened to testimony-wise and evidence-wise, the defense has done an excellent job of poking holes in everything the prosecution has brought up. There is reasonable doubt out the wazoo in this, so I don't see how a jury could come back guilty. But we'll see. We'll find out together. They said, the defense said, the prosecution is unable to tell you the whole story. He recalled a contentious cross-examination with Sarah Carbaugh, with whom the defense sparred over her use of muddy and bloody in different interviews with investigators. He recounted Carbaugh's varying descriptions, including an interview in which she said Bridge Guy had a tan jacket but later said it was blue after seeing the Bridge Guy photo that was released to the public. He said that the jury is the judge of the credibility of witnesses, casting aspersions on Carbaugh's testimony. He said the state didn't call David McCain, a photographer on the Monon High Bridge, on February 13th because his account didn't fit their narrative. He was also critical of Steve Mullen, the former Delphi police chief who became an investigator for the Carroll County Prosecutor's Office, for trying to put Allen on the route they wanted, quote unquote. He also said the fact that Brad Weber, who owns property near the crime scene, made contradictory statements about whether he went straight home after work on the day of the murders. Rossi asserted that Weber's gun had not been excluded, although prosecutor Nick McClellan later said it had been tested. He also railed against the state for failing to mention that the investigation parted ways with the FBI and wondered why the state didn't want to mention that. He also brought up the sticks and branches left on the girls' bodies, which he said the defense had brought up. He referred to the cartridge found at the crime scene as the magic bullet. It was the catalyst for Allen's arrest and referred to his client as Rick during the proceedings. He said Melissa Oberg, the lab technician who determined the bullet had been cycled through Allen's gun, drew a conclusion, and you should just believe her, because that's, quote, what the prosecutor wants, unquote. He mentioned perhaps the defense's biggest revelation in court is that their digital expert, and this is something I just heard for the first time yesterday, the defense's digital expert found data logs indicated something was inserted into the auxiliary port on Libby German's phone at 5:45 p.m. and removed about 5 hours later. And of course, that's 3 hours before the coroner said, when the time the coroner said that the girls were murdered at approximately 2:45 in the afternoon. So the jury has that, has it, and they will be determining a verdict sometime, maybe today. It could be today. It could be this morning. And it could be 3 weeks from now. We don't know. I'm not here at the station, quote unquote, all the time. So if it's a breaking news story throughout the day, you'll have to follow us on KNS Radio on Facebook, or Morning Sickness from KNS Radio, or the Kevin Keith page, KEITH. And I'll put that up for you as soon as we get that information official from Delphi in Carroll County. Also want to tell you that today is Free Pizza Friday. So right now, go to the Morning Sickness from KNS Radio page and comment below, KNS Radio Rocks, and sometime after 5 o'clock this afternoon, I'll be drawing a lucky winner for a certificate, which gets you a choice of a large free pizza or 16 free boneless wings from Frankfurt Pizza Hut. Thank you so much, Jill Hine. And that'll wrap up the program for today. I want to thank all the community-minded partners. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfurt, The Oasis Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, and Pro Bike Computers. We're coming upon the 9 o'clock hour. We got 90s at 9 coming up next. I know a lot of you love that. 90s certainly produce some good music, and we've got it all for you right here. I'm Kevin Keith. Have a great weekend from the KNS. That's the KNS Radio Network.